Hey, everybody. Welcome in. We say hello to you on a Tuesday here in the capital city, Jimmy B and TC. And we are on the Big Talker 1700 KBGG. You can always join the program at 264-1700. Again, that's 264-1700. On the show today, 415-ish, 420, Alex Halstead, 24-7, Cyclone Alert, the latest on the Iowa State Cyclones. And then coming up today, 5 o'clock, it is the Hawkeye Huddle. The guys are on always Tuesday from 5 until 6. Trent, how you doing, my man?
Doing pretty well, Jimmy B. Monday Night Football in the books. And we're halfway through the NFL slate, Jim. It goes too fast. I was listening on the way in today, this morning, and a national commentator just said, 3 weeks left of the college season. And that's right, 3 weeks left of the regular season. Jim, it goes way too dang fast every single year.
I agree 100%. I'm with you. I mean, I'm still enjoying everything, especially you and I both selected Detroit last night, so that was another feather in our cap. But you're right. I mean, it's a good thing that the NFL plays 16 games, because the 12 games for college, it just blows by. Now, look, you and I both love it when we get to all the bowl games, because now you've got college games on almost every night. But still, whoever your team is not participating. And then if they're in a bowl game, which both Iowa and Iowa State will be, they're just going to play that one game on their respective night, and it's over. Mm-hmm. It's over. That's it. So, yeah, I mean, that's it. 3 weeks left. Wow, man, oh, man. Did it go faster for you this year? Because it sure seemed like it went faster for me.
Yeah, it does seem that way. And we've had so many compelling storylines, you know, so much interesting happening here on a local level. The great game that we got in week two with Iowa and Iowa State, the overtime battle, and just what a well-played and fun game that was. And then you get into the early play of the Big Ten and the Big 12, Iowa in that great game against Penn State. Iowa State then in October beating Oklahoma, the run they had. And then, of course, last week, it goes fast. It's football season. It's what we wait for, and it gets here, and it goes fast every single year. But it's been a good one here in our state. Not too many throughout the years that have gone this well for each side, where I think right now Iowa State, though they don't control their own destiny, they do need a little bit of help. Now, they finish out strong. They have still a chance to get to the Big 12 championship game. Iowa's hopes of that are basically off the table. Wisconsin would have to lose out for Iowa to be able to get in that kind of position. But still, if they can put together, they get a victory this week, they finish even at 8-4, a solid season with a lot of young parts. It's been a great year here for Iowa and Iowa State, and maybe that's another reason that it seemed to go so quick this season.
I'm with you. Maybe that is it. But the best part is that both of those teams will be in bowl games. And we're still kind of, we discussed it briefly yesterday, you and I could be in the 1AA FCS playoffs as well. So we could be talking about three of the state's big college football teams all participating in postseason play. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah, we don't have it very often, but certainly is the case here. Well, it is a Tuesday, and that means we start to flip the page from the weekend. Moving on, the loss for Iowa State to West Virginia. Still is a frustrating loss. You know, looking back upon that one, that's one I think that is going to linger for a while for Iowa State fans of the opportunity that they had and the way they came out, battled back in the second half, but could never get over the hump. And then Iowa, but you look forward here, and a couple of monster games for Iowa State and Iowa for different reasons. Iowa trying to knock Wisconsin out of the undefeated. You know, the team that they're really battling to kind of get a stranglehold on, get a toehold of what they have been here as the Big Ten West has formed. And then for Iowa State, still that opportunity to play in the championship game. You already have a couple of big scalps out there and can add another big one with Oklahoma State. I do wonder, you know, how Oklahoma State responds. We saw that with Ohio State after it was a big victory. This one is coming off a loss. But after a game like that, a rivalry game, so much into it, now coming on the road, what Oklahoma State team we're going to see show up on Saturday?
I'm with you. I'm going to pose that question as well to Alex Halstead, because he's been in communication, I'm sure, with some of the people that cover the Oklahoma State Cowboys. I just wonder how devastating a blow that was to their psyche. Look, that team has offensive talent. You and I both know that. They can score on anybody, and that Oklahoma State game was absolutely nuts. It was tremendous offensive football. And I'm with you. I just wonder how much gas is going to be out of the tank, or if they refilled that tank and they're going to take out their frustration on Iowa State. The other factor is can Iowa State get their offense going? Mm-hmm. Trent, they struggled against West Virginia. We both saw that. And they only scored 14 points on TCU. Now, granted, TCU has the best defensive unit in the Big 12, but it seemed like in the second half they were just hanging on for dear life to try to find a way to win that game. They got a couple of good breaks, including the interception when it looked like TCU was going to go in and score. And from that standpoint, I just wonder right now if all of a sudden that what Kemp has done so far, and has he all of a sudden like hit the wall? I think you brought it up the other day. This guy hasn't played any football.
Mm-hmm.
He really hasn't. And how many games now in a row has he played?
5 in a row?
So going from nothing to now 5 in a row, he's been knocked around. So maybe he's hit the wall all of a sudden. I don't know that. I'm just saying that what I'm seeing all of a sudden with the deterioration in the offense, I wonder if that is a factor.
Yeah, I think it's something certainly that bears mentioning at the very least, Jimmy B, and a pretty good theory that you throw out there. This guy, he didn't anticipate playing at this kind of level. With Jacob Park coming back, what he has done, you did anticipate something like this happening. And here he is in the middle of the Big 12 race and getting this team bowl eligible and trying to do more for this football season. I think it's something certainly that you have to think about and look at it. Speaking of the quarterback position today, Jimmy B, wanted to get your thoughts on this one. Over in the NFL, our neighbors to the north, the Minnesota Vikings.
Yes.
So it does look like Teddy Bridgewater will be activated, that he will be part of the 53-man roster this week as he comes off the pop list. But now you also have the growing issue of Sam Bradford, what you want to do, because the Vikings, you got to figure, they don't want to carry four quarterbacks on their active 53-man roster, especially at this point in the season. They have four of their next five games are on the road. They're at the Redskins this week. They're home for the Rams after that, and then three straight road, starting with Thanksgiving at the Lions, at Atlanta, at Carolina. This is a team where teams start to get banged up. And to use four roster spots for quarterbacks, I just don't think you can do it. Yet you have the lingering concerns. What is Teddy Bridgewater? You know, what are you going to be able to get out of him if something would happen to Case Keenum? You know, you go down that right. You got Kyle Sloter, the young guy that they brought in from Northern Colorado. So they have to make a decision of what they're going to do with Sam Bradford. And he's getting his knee looked at again by Dr. James Andrews.
Well, I saw that, and so if that is indeed the case, I bet they get a read on the knee from James Andrews, the specialist, and then they make their decision. My guess is, Trent, that he goes on IR, and then they won't have four QBs and have Bradford taking up a roster spot. That's my guess. I don't see them just all of a sudden cutting him. My guess is it's an injury situation where even if he has to have like even a minor procedure done, like they always call it a cleanup.
Yes.
So even if they go in with the scope, and listen to me, I'm not a doctor, but I play one on the radio.
Sure.
but my point is that they could move him then to injured reserve, and then it would not be a factor. All the reports that I've talked to, or people that I've talked to in Minneapolis, say Bridgewater looks tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's great to hear. because of the devastating injury in which he sustained. And I just hope the kid comes back. Trent, he was playing very good football till that happened. He really was.
He was pretty good. But there's a part of me, Jim, that thinks that we have this image of Teddy Bridgewater maybe further along in his career than he actually was. You look at the numbers that he had his first season as a rookie, 14 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. The next year, when they went to the playoffs, it was still aided very much on the defense. That year, guess how many touchdowns he threw, played all 16 games the second year that they made the playoffs. Guess how many touchdowns he threw that season?
12.
14 against 9 interceptions.
Okay, I was close. Right. I was close.
But I think there's a part of this because, yes, we're rooting for Teddy Bridgewater. You never want to see a guy go down in that fashion and their career to be over in that fashion. And there's a part of everybody, if you got any kind of soul, that you're rooting for Teddy Bridgewater. Even me, the Minnesota Vikings are my least favorite sports team of all time because of where I grew up and the Vikings fans, including my wife at home that talks about the Vikings all the time. I'm not a Vikings fan, but I'm rooting for Teddy Bridgewater because it was so devastating, and he does seem like a really good guy, and you're rooting for him to come back. But there's a part of it that, was he improving? Sure. Was the development there? Absolutely. That offensive line, we talked about a season ago how bad it was, but even the year before when Bridgewater was a quarterback, it wasn't a great offensive line. So I get all those things, but I think there's a portion that maybe sometimes we're overrating a little bit just how good Teddy Bridgewater was and how good he could be coming back. We don't know that portion of it either. You know, we saw Sam Bradford. They said, hey, looks great in practice. And he goes out there and looks awful against the Bears, plays a half, and we haven't seen him since then. We don't know. Until you're actually in live game action, you don't know how things are going to go.
I'm with you on that. I really am, because you're absolutely correct. You can be a great practice player and look sensational, and then when the big lights turn on, things don't go well for you. So I'm with you on that. You don't know that, but we're not on the sidelines each and every day at practice. We don't get that opportunity. So the coaches are obviously, much more in tune with how Teddy Bridgewater has responded. So if they decide that Bradford is not going to be their guy, particularly continuing on with the knee situation, then my guess is that they know a lot more than we do, and I would hope that they would, just by watching Bridgewater in practice, and they believe that. I know Case Keenum is still going to start. There's no question about that. But they believe that if something were to happen to Keenum, Bridgewater could be at least adequate enough to get in and finish out the game.
Well, and the other portion that I'm kind of left wondering about this, I just think this is such an intriguing story because there's so many different layers to it. And another thing, now Case Keenum goes from, look, he was not going to lose his job. Slaughter was not going to come in there and take the job for him. Even if he struggled a little bit, Case Keenum still was the quarterback. He knew that. And with it, a little bit of the pressure is taking away. Now, you have Teddy Bridgewater. You have the prodigal son making his way back, coming back, and the pressure increases a little bit. And a play that normally you throw it away, maybe you're trying to sneak a pass in there that you wouldn't before. Now, that's also lingering back there. That's sitting at the back. And as good as Case Keenum was 2 weeks ago against the Browns in that victory, A, it's against the Browns, but secondly, he didn't have that same kind of pressure. I think that's another thing that you have to take a look at and wonder, how does Case Keenum react to this now? How is he going to play, knowing that if he does now play poorly, it's not bringing in a rookie from Northern Colorado, it's bringing in Teddy Bridgewater. I think that plays a role in this as well.
Maybe. It might. I mean, it really might. But Keenum has played reasonably well.
Yes.
It's not. I mean, he had the one bad game, but I think it was against Detroit. Detroit went in and won there. Mm-hmm. And I think that he's played reasonably well, that, you know, at least in his own mind, he would have the confidence heading into this weekend's game. So, but you're right. It does make a difference. Instead of some rookie backing up, you do have a guy who's at least a couple of year veteran player, and a guy who knows the offense inside and out and in the situation, if, like I said, if he's not performing well or something goes wrong, he, you know, tweaks an ankle or something and can't go out, Bridgewater's in. It's that simple.
Going to be fun. Four of the next five for the Vikings on their own. It starts in Washington, D.C., coming up this weekend with the Redskins. Well, Jimmy B, we'll come back on the other side. We'll talk about another squad that, has a different kind of quarterback situation. You mentioned what's happening exactly right now with Kyle Kemp. You know, maybe hitting a little bit of a wall. We'll get the thoughts on that from Alex Halstead. He's with 24/7 Sports at CycloneAlert.com. We'll talk some Cyclones with him coming up at 5 o'clock as well. It'll be the Hawkeye Huddle. Dave Creighton Jr. and Brett Ridge will stop by for an hour talking Iowa Hawkeyes with you. It's all to come here on 1700 KBGG. We're back in a moment.
Hey, it's Tiki Barber.
And Brandon Tierney.
We are Tiki and Tierney, giving you the big scoop on all the games. Afternoons on the Big Talker, 1700 KBGG. Boom.
Guys, are you ready to begin your journey to live life better? Are you feeling tired and worn down, or looking to improve performance and drive in the bedroom? Looking to burn fat and gain muscle? Then it's time to contact New Leaf Wellness. New Leaf Wellness offers a free, no-obligation consultation. Dr. Robert Seaman and the New Leaf staff will help craft a plan dedicated to you. From testosterone replacement therapy, advanced weight loss, to nutritional therapy, New Leaf Wellness strives to find the plan that will improve your quality of life. Dr. Robert Seaman and New Leaf Wellness. Give them a call today at 515-650-1358. Again, 515-650-1358 for New Leaf Wellness. One more time, 515-650-1358. It's time to live life better with New Leaf Wellness. Call 515-650-1358. That's 515-650-1358.
Sponsored by Office Depot Office Max. You've had a big year, so treat yourself to great deals on tech and furniture at Office Depot Office Max. You deserve it. Office Depot Office Max, taking care of business.
It's time to start your weekend early with the return of Thursday Night Football on NBC.
How special is this?
Whether it's a boys' night out in Dallas.
Into the end zone.
Unbelievable.
Catching some improv from Seattle's finest.
That'll make a few highlight reels tonight.
Or painting the town red in Atlanta.
This place is rocking now.
Wow.
Start your weekend early when Thursday Night Football returns to NBC. It all begins November 9th with Seahawks Cardinals.
Now, we'd never tell you what kind of truck to drive, but what kind of snowplow? Well, that's a different story. For more than 65 years, Fisher Plows have been getting the job done reliably and efficiently. From heavy-duty commercial plows, V-plows to breakthrough deep snow drifts, or a personal snowplow for your half-ton truck, you'll find the Fisher Plow that's right for your need at Schuling Hitch in Des Moines and Ames. It's time to upgrade your blade with a new Fisher Plow from Schuling Hitch. Visit SchulingHitch.com.
Hi, I'm Tabitha Coffey, TV personality and small business advisor. Many of the businesses I work with just need extra capital for things like remodeling or purchasing more products. That's where Cabbage comes in, with flexible lines of credit of up to $150,000. Apply online and get a decision right away. Withdraw funds when you need them without reapplying. Cabbage has supported over 100,000 small businesses. Get started at cabbage.com/transform or 855-CABBAGE. That's Cabbage with a K, 855-CABBAGE.
Line of credit is subject to credit approval. See terms and conditions.
At Discover, we believe anniversaries should be a time of celebration, not obligation. That's why we think annual fees are ridiculous. And now, just for giving us a try, we're going to give new card members a one-year anniversary gift they'll never forget. At the end of your first year, we'll match all the cash back you've earned dollar for dollar. No caps and no catches, because we know if you try us, you'll like us. And that's worth every penny. Try it and believe it at discover.com/match. Cashback match offer only for new card members. Limitations apply.
Black and Cardinal Divide is the first website dedicated to the Cy-Hawk rivalry. We cover both the Hawkeyes and the Cyclones.
This is Cody, and I cover Iowa State.
And I'm Derek, his younger brother, who covers the Hawkeyes.
We'd like to encourage you to jump over to bcdivide.com. Tune in Wednesdays and Thursday nights as we will talk all things Cyclones and Hawkeyes.
Jump over to bcdivide.com. Join us for daily banter and our social media pages at bcdivide. As brothers and fans of different teams, we grew up with a heated Cy-Hawk rivalry within our own family.
Join us at bcdivide.com to embrace the rivalry.
At Wolf Construction, we do many large construction projects across the Midwest, but we started as a roofing company and we're still a roofing company today. At Wolf Construction, we believe in honest work, a fair price, and work we stand behind. And our 10-year workmanship warranty proves it. We know roofing. With our one-day get-it-done approach, we're known as a roofing machine. Call Wolf Construction for a free estimate at 515-225-8866 or visit us on the web at wolfconstruction.net. At Wolf Construction, we take your roof personally.
If you're sick and tired of the same old delivery options, I have an idea for you. It's Food Dudes Delivery. Food Dudes Delivery delivers for restaurants that normally don't deliver food. And with over 50 restaurants across the metro, Food Dudes Delivery can find whatever you're craving. And for listeners of Jimmy B and TC, $2 off any order of $20 or more. Just use the coupon code JBTC. That's JBTC for $2 off your next order of $20 or more. Food Dudes Delivery. Online, Food Dudes Delivery.
It's time for your daily dose of Cyclone coverage on 1700 KBGG.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Jimmy B and TC, we roll all the way till 5 tonight, and then at 5 o'clock, it's the Hawkeye Huddle. The guys will take you from 5 until 6. But right now, time to talk Iowa State Cyclones. Alex Halstead, 24/7 Cyclone Alert, is our guest. Alex, how are you, man?
I'm doing good. Just here in the, I guess, north end zone of Jack Trice Stadium, and a few days away from senior night. Kind of crazy. I guess it'll be a senior morning, but kind of crazy that, you know, they're playing that so early, but a big three-week stretch for Iowa State here in the next couple weeks to close out November.
Let me follow up then with how important these games are. Look, the team's already qualified for a bowl. That's not enough for this team. It's what I have seen: 14 points against TCU at home. Arguably the best defense in the Big 12. But in the second half, their offense definitely was sputtering. On the road at West Virginia, a terribly sputtering offense in a game which was there for the taking. The defense played well enough to give Iowa State that opportunity to win that game on the road. It didn't happen. Has something happened to the offense in your estimation? And if so, can you pinpoint what it might be?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing seems to be that they're just not executing in critical moments. You know, we saw them against West Virginia get to the goal line and to the 5-yard line, and they kicked field goals on both times. And I think for sure the 1-yard line, you got to get into the end zone there. And even if just one of those times you get to the end zone, you're going to overtime, worst case scenario. Like you said, I think the biggest disappointment, you know, from Saturday from fans that I'm seeing is that game felt like almost like they should have won it. You know, you start in a 20-0 hole and you lose it 20-16, and you had a potential game-winning drive there. You had opportunities, like I said, at the goal line and the 5 to punch it in. The defense has really carried them the last 4 weeks, I think you could say. And so I think that's the frustration. It's kind of crazy to the point where they lose a 20-16 game where they had a chance to win it. And there's the level of frustration when you look at the fact that they've already got 6 wins. But I think that's, like you said, the expectations have kind of advanced pretty quickly this season. Mm-hmm. You know, fans aren't just happy with, you know, having a chance to win that game late as like they would have been maybe in the last couple of years, because so much was at stake and there's a chance for them to do something more than just that 6 win mark that everybody was just wanting them to reach before the season.
So late in the third quarter, down 2 scores, 20-10, at the 1-yard line, 4th and goal, went for the field goal. Now, down 2 scores, he certainly could understand it, but does it feel like maybe something was a little bit lost there? You got David Montgomery in the backfield. You got a yard to get. Give it to your man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think in retrospect, you know, they probably would go for it. And I think the biggest thing there was the second down play, you know, when Kyle Kemp tried to run it, and they aren't going to throw him under the bus, and you know that was just a messed up play. That was not designed to be a Kyle Kemp's keeper. It's supposed to go to David Montgomery, and unfortunately, I don't know if it was the handoff, if it was something that got messed up with the snap, but you would have hoped that play would have went to Montgomery, and that gives you one more shot with the ball in Montgomery's hands. But after that didn't work, I think, you know, it looked like it still almost could have paid off for them if they complete that game-winning drive. But in hindsight, you probably just go for it on fourth. And worst-case scenario, the way their defense played in that second half, you know, played really from the mid-second quarter on, you know, West Virginia had to go 99 yards. So you know, probably hindsight, they probably would have went for it, but that second down play really, really killed them on that one.
Having a conversation with Alex Halstead on Iowa State Cyclones, 24/7 Cyclone Alert. Alex, I'm real curious about this game because now you have two teams coming off losses and Oklahoma State playing the Bedlam game at home and losing that one to Oklahoma the way that Baker Mayfield threw for almost 600 yards in that contest. What Oklahoma State team shows up? The team that can score 40 to 45 points easily, or a team that's still devastated from that loss and maybe can only put 20 on the board?
Yeah, that's the most interesting thing is there's different Oklahoma State teams, not even necessarily good or bad, but there's just different types of games depending on what types of situations they're in. You saw them play Texas, and that final score is, I think, 13-10, Oklahoma State won. They got beat by TCU earlier in the year and were kind of held down a little bit. I don't think it's going to be one of those upper 40s to in the 50s type game. I think what you've seen, you know, Texas and from Texas and TCU against them with their defenses, I think Iowa State's probably more similar to Texas and TCU defensively than some of the other teams they've played. And so I think it would be not necessarily, I don't think it's going to be a 13-10 game like it was versus Oklahoma State and Texas, but I think it's going to be a lower scoring game for sure than the 50s that we just saw. You know, I talked to one of the Oklahoma State writers today, and that's kind of what his feeling was too, is it's going to be a little bit more defensive type game than, you know, maybe a shootout. My big question with Oklahoma State is, where's James Washington at? You know, he's got 1,000-plus yards already, and if he's been banged up, didn't play as much as they would have liked him to against Oklahoma, I think he's in a boot or he's been struggling with his foot. So if he's either out, which I think he'll probably play, or if he's limited, that could play into Iowa State's favor. The line's still 6.5, and I think I could see that type of game where it comes down to one score, but Oklahoma State has the offense where they can run away if you're not ready.
Yeah, you mentioned that offense, and we've seen it, Alex. I mean, they can put points on the board in a hurry. And defensively, they have some issues here, but this offense, maybe even a different level than what we saw TCU, even Oklahoma. I understand Oklahoma just beat Oklahoma State, but the way that they can just gain momentum and put points up in a hurry, got to be concerning from an Iowa State perspective.
Yeah, I think when Iowa State played Oklahoma, it felt like that was going to be the best offense they've played in terms of, you know, Mayfield can just, it just seems like their passing game is on another level. Obviously, Oklahoma State is right there neck and neck with them. The thing that Matt Campbell, the word he used, and he thinks Oklahoma State has the most complete offense that Iowa State will play. Obviously, you have Mason Rudolph and throwing to James Washington and doing some of the things that they do in the passing game, but they've got a really capable run game. And so the big question for Iowa State is, which one do you focus on a little bit more? I mean, you can't probably take away both. Do you try to take one away more than the other? My guess is that Iowa State probably goes more of a three-man front, drops eight, and tries to take away some of the passing game more than the running game. But they'll probably mix and match between three and four because just to try to see what they can tinker with and take away from Oklahoma State because, like I said, they're the most complete offense. So if you take away some of Mason Rudolph's ability to pass, they can still run the ball. So that's what I think makes them more dangerous than the other offenses Iowa State's played is that if you do take something away, it's almost like you still get beat in a different way.
I came up with a theory earlier, and Trent and I had a brief discussion on it. I'll bring it to your attention, and you can tell me to go to hell or if it does carry some weight. The starting quarterback now, Kyle Kemp, hasn't played hardly any football whatsoever. I mean, game football. Now he's played, what, 5 in a row? Is there a possibility maybe that he might be hitting the wall a little bit? I'm just saying, just because of all the inactivity that he had prior to this.
I don't know if it's hitting the wall as much as I think there's a possibility that teams are starting to figure out his pros and or his strengths and weaknesses and maybe trying to take away some of what Iowa State can do. Because you saw TCU in the second half. Iowa State had some success in the first half against one of the best defenses, probably the best defense in the Big 12 right there with Iowa State and Texas, and one of the better defenses in terms of giving up points. Iowa State scored, you know, 14, and they moved the ball a little bit in that first half. In the second half, you know, Gary Patterson's probably one of the best defensive minds. They took away Iowa State's short game and I think held them to 50 yards or something in that second half. They they really took away what Iowa State wanted to do, and I think that's what maybe is the bigger thing. I think, you know, I don't think Kemp's capabilities have necessarily changed or anything, but I think teams know that Iowa State might rely on the short passing game and things like that instead of taking as many shots downfield. Now, they did take some shots downfield against West Virginia. Probably good play calls, with the one to Trevor Ryan really comes to mind, mm-hmm. and they just they had drops. So I think when they do take shots downfield, they have to have a little bit more success to keep defenses honest, because I think you're probably right in the fact that teams have seen now, like you said, five games of film on him, and they know what Iowa State's going to try to do with him with what his skill set is.
So, you know, we've talked to so many stories about this defense taking a step forward this year and giving up only 20 on the road to West Virginia, another positive for the Iowa State defense. And one of the guys we haven't talked a ton about is DeAndre Payne, who is putting together a very good season out there, had a pass breakup, a tackle for loss, maybe played one of his most complete games of the season. Just another name along this defense that probably doesn't get as much credit as Payne maybe deserves.
Yeah, and the good thing for Iowa State is he's got another year. You know, he's a JUCO, and this is his second year, but he was a three-year JUCO because he redshirted at Arizona Western. So that's really positive when you think about Iowa State 2018 season. Is they returned DeAndre Payne and Brian Peavy, their best two corners. And the thing that impresses me the most about Payne is his ability to tackle in space. When you look at his tackle numbers, I mean, when you say you look at a linebacker's tackle numbers like landing, it's pretty split, you know, between solo tackles and assisted tackles. But a lot of Payne's tackles are solo tackles when he's out there on an island having to defend a screenplay. And we've seen a couple times where teams have tried to do that screenplay type thing against him, or I guess on the other side, even against Peavy, and they've gone for no gain or loss. And those are dangerous plays where if you don't make that sure tackle, you know, it could turn into a big play. And I think Payne's been one of the reasons that they haven't really given up a ton of big plays in that those situations, because he's always kind of been there. And his interception was exactly what Iowa State needed. I mean, that gave Iowa State the chance to go down and win the game, and the offense couldn't convert, but he came up in that moment. And it'll be interesting to see how he's used in the future, because he can play safety and he can play corner, and you know, maybe they move him around next year, you know, depending on what their cornerback situation looks like. But you know, I think him and Peavy have been a big reason why they can drop eight at times and confuse quarterbacks.
Don't you find it interesting, after all the talk about Matt Campbell and all the offers he's going to get after you drop a game like that on the road, nobody's talking about that anymore?
Yeah, it's funny. And I think, you know, Jamie Pollard, it seemed like that was, I didn't listen to the whole thing. I probably heard about 15 minutes of the call-in show last night. Pollard preceded Matt Campbell. And the first several calls were about how Iowa State can keep Matt Campbell. And, you know, Pollard said, you know, he'd prefer to be in this situation than the latter, where you have a coach that nobody else wants, you know. And so he said, you know, they're prepared to, you know, do whatever. But he definitely didn't seem worried, but it is the big question on fans' mind. But you're right that, you know, once you lose one game and go to 6-3, all of a sudden you drop out of that conversation a little bit.
Well, Alex, we've got a little bit of time here. Want to get into basketball. The season begins officially on Friday night, and it's a difficult one as they make their way down to Missouri. Michael Porter Jr. and company will be waiting in Columbia. You're going to be down there for that one. Before we get into that matchup, though, I want to get your thoughts on Sunday, what you saw over at Hilton, an exhibition win. Only 7 guys available out there, and certainly made things difficult. So let's start with the 2 guys that didn't play. Cameron Laird, not out there in action, along with Terrence Lewis. Those 2 guys, and an update on those 2 as they get ready for Friday night.
Yeah, I would say they only had 7, like you said, and so that made things difficult. And I think it also made it difficult for both media and fans to – it's hard to set expectations ever out of an exhibition, but to kind of figure out some things about this team, because it's hard to judge a team when you don't see 3 players who might play a decent number of minutes. So, you know, Cameron Laird and Terrence Lewis didn't play because of coaches' decisions. The week before, the Sunday before, Zoran Talley didn't play in the Nebraska close scrimmage because of a coach's decision. Prohm won't elaborate other than to say he's going to hold a high standard with these guys. I think it's always been his team. He's always been adamant that even when it was, you know, George, and those were maybe guys that Hoiberg recruited, but it was his team, obviously. But now it even really feels like so many new players into the program, he's going to make sure he makes a point. Now, the status, we don't know yet. We'll talk to Prohm tomorrow, and he said, is going to kind of depend on how this week went for those guys. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see one or both of them Friday, though. It sounds like it it's kind of a day-by-day thing. But I think he's trying to make a point these first few games and could hurt them early in the season, but maybe in the long term will pay off for them.
What about Hans Brace? What's the latest on him?
So there's the positive with him, and the positive is that he's playing full court in practice, and that was kind of the biggest holdback is, I think we talked from Kansas City a few weeks ago at Big 12 Media Days, and he was doing half court and all that. He's full court now, so he's going up and down the court. Iowa State's original plan this past Sunday was for him to play 8 to 10 minutes, but he went through warm-ups, and the trainer, Vic Miller, they just decided maybe let's just wait. So he could play Friday, but I think these first few games, these first few weeks, if we're going to see him, we might see him 10, 15 minutes. It just kind of depends on how his knee responds. But they do think he can contribute this year, but they want him to contribute more in December and January than maybe November. So it's unfortunate because Frohm said that when he's out on the court and practiced in the full court stuff, that the team is a lot different. And, you know, Jeff Beverly started at kind of the five, four or five, whatever you want to call it, on Sunday, and they definitely need some size, whether it's Cameron Lard or Hans Brace. They just need more of a rim protector or a guy down there, and so either of those guys will help, but Brace just gives them a different presence. It sounds like we haven't got to see him, but Prohm says the team plays a little bit different, a little bit more calm when he is out there.
Got to see some extended minutes for Jacoby Long on Sunday. Really first extended look out of him. Played some spot minutes last season during the non-conference, but then disappeared playing behind, well, that great group of seniors certainly out there. What did you see from Jacoby Long? And looks like you can certainly see the work that he put in the offseason.
His body's definitely there. You know, that was one of the things coming out of high school. They thought he could compete in the Big 12 at least, was his body was Big 12 ready defensively. Now, his shot has needed work partially because he had a shoulder injury that he had some cleanup surgery in, and he's healthy now, it sounds like. And Prohm said he worked really hard, and I think that was part of the reasons you saw some of the work pay off, at least in this exhibition. It's hard to still understand or know what his role is going to be, but in the first 14 minutes of the second half, I think he had 11 points. And so when they gave him an opportunity to try to do some things, he was able to do some things and made a three-pointer, the only other guy that made a three other than Donovan Jackson. So I think some positives at least, but you know, it might still be a couple weeks or this first month to figure out what kind of role Jacoby can play, because you know, there is still a little bit of a, not as big of a logjam as last year, but you know, Wendell Wigginton, Donovan Jackson, Nick Weiler, Babs, or Ann Talley are kind of all in that 1-3 range. And so Jacoby's got to kind of figure out where he fits in that mix.
Having a conversation right now, Alex Halstead, 24/7 Cyclone Alert. I'm real curious then, when you talked about Brace and how the team is different when he is out there, with what you saw out of that scrimmage, yes, it was only seven guys, but they're going to go to Missouri and play a team that's really got some studs, and people have already penciled Missouri in as a NCAA tournament team. Could it be that this team struggles so much that they just get pounded in this game?
That's the question. I think nobody knows what to expect. I think Iowa State internally is probably realistic about how things might go. Not to say they're going to go down there expecting to get killed, but I think they understand that they've got to be realistic these first few weeks, that there's going to be ups and downs. There might be times where they surprise people if they play in games, and there might be times where there's lapses. You know, Prohm said he expected the exhibition to kind of go how it did, that they were going to, he didn't think they played very well, and he thought it was a good thing for them. There might be games like that early in the season. You hope it's not, you know, the first game, and it's not like it's on the SEC network. I don't know how many people get that, but you don't want it to be, you want to kind of start off on a good note, and so it's going to be interesting. You know, they need to probably have more than seven guys in that first game. But it's definitely a challenge. You know, you start off with a kid that is going to be top couple pick, maybe the top pick, in Michael Porter Jr., a preseason All-American. So a tough first challenge. I think the interesting thing for me is I don't know what to expect out of Missouri these first few games, too, because they do have high-end talent, but they're also kind of like Iowa State trying to figure out how to play together. And so it'll be interesting to see how these teams square off. I think it's one of the more intriguing opening night matchups for that reason.
No doubt. There should be some good ones on Friday night. Looking forward to that 8 o'clock tip-off, as Alex mentioned, on the SEC Network. Alex, as always, good catching up with you. Thanks for your time. So you got player interviews tonight over at Jack Trice, is that right?
Yep, talking to, I think, some of the seniors and previewing senior night. It's kind of crazy that it's already here. I mean, I was looking back at the 2013 class for Iowa State. they signed 25 guys in that class, and 15 of them didn't finish their eligibility at Iowa State. Seven more will this season. So a lot of that 2017 class departed, and I guess the seven that stuck around to finish out this year are quite glad they did.
No, no doubt. They ended on a high note. Good stuff, Alex. We'll talk again next week.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
CycloneAlert.com is the website to go. Jimmy B., Friday night, how about the two-pack of games that we have, as it'll be you and I at the defending national champion North Carolina, and then Iowa State making their way to Missouri. And Iowa, by the way, they kick it off against Chicago State. Ugh.
Are you going on another rant about that horrible non-conference Iowa schedule again with all of those teams that are above 300?
No, I'll have plenty of time for that throughout November and December. We will have plenty of time for that, Jim. But that college basketball is back.
You know what gets me is that, you know, we had that discussion, and then people sent us a couple of tweets saying, well, if they play well in the Big Ten, it doesn't matter. But you just explained all the time why it does matter. Mm-hmm. Because in some of the projections, I see Iowa now as a 9 or 10 seed. If they didn't play, say, three games against those teams that you just referenced that are over 300, they might get a 4 or a 5 seed, or maybe a 6, something in there. And seeding, as we all know, is very important.
It's not if they'd even play three of them, but they have more than that. Chicago State, Alabama State, Grambling State, Southern, Drake, Southern Utah, Northern Illinois. It's not even that they have three in there, Jimmy B. There are seven this season. That's a problem. It's going to hurt them, be it NCAA tournament time, getting in. It's going to hurt them in terms of seeding. It will impact this team one way or another, unless they run the table. And I don't see that happening with this squad, Jimmy B. I don't see Iowa going 34-0 through the regular season, through the Big Ten tournament. I just don't envision that. So, yes, this is going to impact the team. But until it happens, people don't want to believe me. I guess that's the way it is sometimes. Right, Jim? You can talk until you're blue in the face. But
that's it. That's it.
Sometimes they just won't believe you. We'll come back. We'll put a cap on things here. Hour number one. Hour two, Brett Ridge and Dave Creighton Jr. will be by, along with myself, for the Hawkeye Huddles. We take you up until 6 o'clock here on 1700 KBGG.
You found your home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
Are you in the mood for real, classic, homemade Italian food? Well, I have the spot for you. It's Villaggio. Two locations. The newest location in Urbandale, 2675 100th Street. The original in Norwalk. Classic dishes like cavatelli, spaghetti, lasagna, and vodka rigatoni. Top-notch pizza and awesome sandwiches. A great happy hour and Italian done right. Villaggio.
Sponsored by Firestone Complete Auto Care. Come into Firestone Complete Auto Care and get $60 on a Firestone Visa prepaid card by mail when you purchase a set of four eligible Firestone tires. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
This is my bachelor party.
Tonight on The Flash.
Gentlemen, I welcome you to the Golden Booty.
What happens in Central City?
God, I wish I could have a drink.
Should stay in Central City.
Your special concoction.
The Flash gets turned up.
You're going to need to walk this off.
Or run it off, because I'm The Flash.
And the party crashers get deadly.
Kill them!
Flash, followed by DC's Legends of Tomorrow, only tonight on The CW.
The heroes come out to play. Tonight at 7 on CW Iowa 23.
By the time that we got up there, his room was filled with smoke.
The wind had blown and drifted the snow up against the side of my house, blocking the exhaust from my furnace.
I heard the smoke alarm going off in my friend's apartment.
Without the Kidde smoke alarm, my son would not be here today.
Had it not been for that carbon monoxide detector, they would come to school and not have their teacher there.
I grabbed my fire extinguisher and put out the fire.
Kidde makes technology that saves lives.
Get these essential products at Menards.
1700 KBGG is your home for high school football. Join me, Trent Condon, each and every Friday night starting at 7 o'clock for the Central Iowa Game of the Week. After the game, keep it locked on 1700 KBGG for the Hartung and Schrader Scoreboard Show. We'll take you up until 11 o'clock with scores from across the state of Iowa. Your home for high school sports, 1700 KBGG. It's the semifinals from the Unidome, Dowling Catholic, Ankeny Centennial. A playoff edition Friday night on 1700.
You don't need more sports, but you want more sports.
Rockstar Satellite can fix that with free next-day installation on DirecTV. Call Rockstar Satellite, 515-262-STAR. Call today for next-day installation, 515-262-STAR.
Hey, it's Trent Condon here from Jimmy B and TC. If you've been talking and thinking about improving your health, I have an idea for you. Do what I did. Call New Leaf Wellness. My weight had been increasing, my endurance during workouts was waning, and I was just feeling sluggish. New Leaf Wellness put together a program to help me lose weight, improve my energy, and they can do the same for you. Call New Leaf Wellness today at 515-650-1358 to schedule a free, no obligation consultation. That's 515-650-1358 for New Leaf Wellness. And tell them TC sent you.
Since 1993, Wolf Construction has been Des Moines' choice for residential and commercial roofing. From complete re-roofing to small leaks, call Wolf Construction at 225-8866 for your roofing needs. Call 225-8866 to set up your roofing consultation or online at wolfconstruction.net. That's wolfconstruction.net for Wolf Construction. A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. wolfconstruction.net.
Found your home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
All right, everybody, welcome back. We go till the top of the hour here, and then it's the Hawkeye Huddle. The guys will take you all the way till 6 o'clock. Speaking of the Hawks, really tough for Brandon Snyder. Another ACL tear. This is, you know, he's done for the year again, Trent.
Yeah, same knee, same injury that he had, obviously sustained back during April. Came back, it seemed like it was too quick. Well, we saw how it turned out. You feel bad for the kid, all the work that went into it, and now going to have to go through the rehab process one more time. Just a junior, still has another year of eligibility. That's certainly the good news. And a guy that we saw a year ago, he really came on as the year went on. He developed in a big way. It took a while for Iowa to kind of figure out what they're doing back at those safety positions, but getting Imani Hooker out there has been a big, big step up. And Hooker, the pick six to begin the ball game, just the level that he's been able to play with. We've seen Gervais out there. We see Miles Taylor at times. Geno Stone, the true freshman. Safety is a position where they're building depth as the season goes along, and that's really this team in general. You kind of look across, and the injuries early on has developed into now a lot of depth at a lot of different positions. You go into next season, Jimmy B, where you begin the season, four straight home games, four straight games at Kinnick Stadium to begin the year. Northern Illinois, Iowa State, UNI, and Wisconsin all in Kinnick that first month. Well, this is a team that is going to have a lot of pieces back. Really, everywhere outside of probably the linebacker position, you got to have a pretty good feeling overall, I'd think.
I would think so. I mean, look, this is... There's some nice pieces for next season that are going to carry over here. There's no question about that. Hey, before we get going here, just a quick moment. In Major League Baseball, a real sad story. Pitcher for the Blue Jays and the Philadelphia Phillies, Roy Halladay, dies today in a small plane crash in the Gulf of Mexico near Florida. I can remember Halladay getting called up out of Syracuse, and then all of those great seasons that he had with the Blue Jays, and then when he got to the Phillies, Trent, he threw a no-hitter in his first postseason game. And he's going to be a Hall of Famer, but boy, oh boy, that just kind of rocked everybody. He's only 40 years old.
Yeah, definitely sad news, certainly today, and certainly a different level that you look at and what he was able to do throughout his career. You know, baseball, kind of the way that we look at pitchers, and you mentioned him being a Hall of Famer, we do have to recatalyze the way that we look at starting pitchers and guys that are Hall of Famers, because I completely agree. He was a high-level guy. He was the best pitcher in baseball over a long period. He was one of the top pitchers in the game over, what, 5-6 years? You know, he was at that level. And guess how many wins he had in his career?
I know he had over 200.
But barely.
210. Yeah. I was going to say like 205, 210.
What? And for right years and years and years, Jimmy B, what was it? To be a Hall of Famer, you had to have 300.
300, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just shows you how different it is. And maybe people will realize that a win is not the best way to measure a starting pitcher.
I know. I knew you were going to say that just so you could throw it back at me and all those stupid metrics. So look,
it's not a stupid metric, Jimmy B.
Yeah. Look, you had to get close to 300 before to get in as a pitcher. You're absolutely right. Times have changed. The way the game is done, it's totally different. You just try to get five good innings out of a guy, maybe six, and then try to get to the pen. It's totally different than what it once was. I get all that. But still, Halliday was – I interviewed him a couple of times – and just a great guy. He did a lot of charitable work as well. So this really is kind of put baseball and baseball fans a little bit back on their heels today.
Speaking of baseball, did you see the nominees for whatever they're calling this crazy new thing, the new modern era Hall of Fame ballot? Did you see the names that were a part of that?
No.
It's
modern era. Okay. Does that mean like 1990 and to today? Is that what they're talking about?
No, the modern era is from 1970 to 87. So right in your wheelhouse, Jimmy B.
Yeah.
And these are guys that were obviously eligible on the Hall of Fame ballot, never made it. The Veterans Committee, another part that we hear here. But here's the names. Tell me if these guys should be Hall of Famers. Not Hall of Very Good. Hall of Famers. You ready?
Okay. Yep.
Dale Murphy.
God, he's been up there, and he is so close to being in.
Yes or no?
Man, that's a, no.
Okay. Dave Parker.
No.
Ted Simmons.
No.
Louis Tiant.
No.
Don Mattingly.
Yes.
Get out of here, Don Mattingly. Don Mattingly is not a Hall of Famer. He was a very good player for a while, for a decade.
A long time. Yes, for a long time.
Very
300 hitter for a long time.
A good player. Yeah. If he played for the Seattle Mariners, it wouldn't even be a conversation piece. He was the only good player for bad Yankees teams in the 80s. I think he's overrated. Alan Trammell.
No.
See, I'm on the Alan Trammell train. I believe he should be in there. A couple others. Steve Garvey?
Man, oh, man. I don't think so either. No.
Tommy John.
I'm tough, man. I'm a tough.
That's good.
No, just because the surgery's named after him doesn't qualify him for the world, for the Hall of Fame.
And finally, and I have a little bit of a different thought probably here. Jack Morris.
I'd like to see Jack Morris get in.
All right. Not a real great, nice guy by any means, but as a
pitcher, he's not. No, but you don't judge on nice guys.
Right, yes. And maybe that's a part of why he isn't there, but that is the group there. So we'll see. There's a 16-member committee. You need 12 of the 16 votes to get in. We'll see if any of those guys make their way in to the Hall of Fame. Well, that'll do it for our portion of the program. Coming up next here on 1700 KBGG, it's the Hawkeye Huddle. Dave Creighton Jr. and Brett Ridge with you talking Hawkeyes for the next hour on 1700.
Afternoons, we talk sports on 1700 with Jimmy B and TC, Des Moines' savviest sports duo on The Big Talker, 1700 KBGG.
Black and Cardinal Divide is the first website dedicated to the Cy-Hawk rivalry. We cover both the Hawkeyes and the Cyclones.
This is Cody, and I cover Iowa State.
And I'm Derek, his younger brother, who covers the Hawkeyes.
We'd like to encourage you to jump over to bcdivide.com. Tune in Wednesdays and Thursday nights as we will talk all things Cyclones and Hawkeyes.
Jump over to bcdivide.com. Join us for daily banter and our social media pages at bcdivide. As brothers and fans of different teams, we grew up with a heated Cy-Hawk rivalry within our own family.
Join us at bcdivide.com to embrace the rivalry.
Trust, quality, value, Just some of the words that have been used by Wolf Construction Roofing customers to describe their experience. Wolf Construction Roofing works on residential and commercial roofing, including single-family and multifamily homes, tear-offs, specialty roofing, and gutters. Wolf Construction has grown into a roofing machine that installs and re-roofs nearly 2 million square feet of roofing each year. Wolf Construction has been given the Super Service Award from Angie's List and is accredited with the Better Business Bureau. Call them today for your free estimate. Wolf Construction Roofing, 515-216-3643. That's 515-216-3643. And online, wolfconstruction.net.
Villaggio Italian Restaurant brings real homemade Italian to you. Fantastic food, great service, and an elegant vibe that feels like home. All your favorites from the original in Norwalk and an expanded menu with the newest location on 100th Street in Urbandale. Plus, one of the best happy hours in the metro from 3 to 6 each weekday. When you're thinking Italian, make it Villaggio. Pizza, pasta, sandwiches, and more. Two locations, Sunset Drive in Norwalk and 100th Street in Urbandale. Villaggio Italian Restaurant.
Napa Know How. Ice, snow, rain, and 24-hour holiday music. Winter throws a lot at you. That's why Napa has ExactFit wiper blades for $10 off per pair. These durable, long-lasting blades will help you defend against winter's worst, holiday music not included. So save $10 today with Napa ExactFit wiper blades. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Offer ends 12/31/17.
Sponsored by Firestone Complete Auto Care. Come into Firestone Complete Auto Care and get $60 on a Firestone Visa prepaid card by mail when you purchase a set of four eligible Firestone tires. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Kate here with Food Dudes Delivery. Are you tired of the same old delivery options? Food Dudes Delivery can solve that problem for you. We deliver for restaurants that don't do delivery. Order through us at fooddudesdelivery.com. Place your order for lunch today, dinner tonight, or your office party tomorrow at fooddudesdelivery.com.
You don't need more sports, but you want more sports.
Rockstar Satellite can fix that with free next-day installation on DirecTV. Call Rockstar Satellite, 515-262-STAR. Call today for next-day installation, 515-262-STAR.
Guys, are you ready to begin your journey to live life better? Are you feeling tired and worn down or looking to improve performance and drive in the bedroom? Looking to burn fat and gain muscle? Then it's time to contact New Leaf Wellness. New Leaf Wellness offers a free, no-obligation consultation. Dr. Robert Seaman and the New Leaf staff will help craft a plan dedicated to you. From testosterone replacement therapy, advanced weight loss, to nutritional therapy, New Leaf Wellness strives to find the plan that will improve your quality of life. Dr. Robert Seaman and New Leaf Wellness, give them a call today at 515-650-1358. Again, 515-650-1358 for New Leaf Wellness. One more time, 515-650-1358. It's time to live life better with New Leaf Wellness. Call 515-650-1358. That's 515-650-1358.
Des Moines, home for sports, news, and a whole lot more.
I'm addicted.
Yeah, I listen to you all the time.
The Big Talker, 1700. 1700-